It's time for Kennedy for Alabama, a political talk show where we discuss the real issues impacting our sweet home, Alabama. Your voicemails, comments, and texts are welcome at 251-272-9461.
I love this country as much, if not more, than you do, and don't you ever forget that.
And now, your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
Good evening to the listening audiences in Mobile, Montgomery, Huntsville, and beyond. My name is Robert Kennedy Jr., and this is Kennedy for Alabama. We are really excited about tonight's program, so let's get to it. Tonight, we have four fantastic members of this evening's conversation team. The first is Ms. Aquiline Kennedy.
Good evening, everyone.
President of Kennedy Strategic Communications. The second joining us in studio is Mr. Nick Matranga, who is the Mobile County License Commissioner. The third joining us in studio during the bottom half of the hour is Mr. Richard Brackner, who's the Democratic nominee for Alabama State House District 95. And last, but in no wise least, is Mr. Charlie Moss, who is working the production board and keeping Kennedy for Alabama sounding good on the airwaves. So we know as we have gone through season five, we've spent a lot of time talking to candidates who are running for office. We spent time talking to journalists who cover those candidates running for office. And we've had opportunities to talk to a number of our incumbent officials about their duties and responsibilities. And so along those lines of thought, we are very pleased to have in studio with us our Mobile County License Commissioner, Mr. Matranga. Welcome to Kennedy for Alabama.
Thank you very much, Robert. Glad to be here this evening.
You know, it's interesting. I often talk about the journey that Aquiline and I went through when we ran for office initially, then under the umbrella of Kennedy Strategic mm-hmm. Communications, started doing consulting work primarily for the city of Pritchard and some other organizations here around the area. But I often talk about it's the knowledge that came out of the process of things that are happening at the local level, obviously within the administration, at the county level, and the municipal level as well. And so I've been fascinated, and I think the lesson is that as we get that knowledge, we're actually able to be better citizens.
You're hitting the nail right on the head.
What folks are doing. So, hey, before we get into the the vast scope of job responsibilities that you have, just take a minute and let the listening audience know a little bit about you, where you grew up, and just kind of what you did professionally before you ended up becoming the license commissioner.
Well, it's been quite a long journey and a very happy one here. I graduated from McGill High School here in Mobile.
Okay.
I joined the Marine Corps as a private. Mm-hmm. I rose to the rank of sergeant, and unfortunately, I was jumping out of airplanes.
There you go.
And that got me interested in aviation. I said, okay, you know what? This looks cool. So I went back to school as a reservist, got to a certain point. They were still hiring pilots in the Marine Corps, and I went off and applied for that. It got selected and got my wings, and I served in the Marine Corps for about 7 years active duty. Then I went on reserve duty, joined the airlines. I flew with Capital, TWA, and American. American finally absorbed TWA. That's why I ended up retiring. I retired with them with 30 years there and 32 years in the Marine Corps.
Retired
as a colonel. That kind of led me to, well, you know, my life's over. I can sit back, relax, and just enjoy life, you know. Mm-hmm.
I thought.
Yes. Your point being is what got you into to politics. I want to say politics. I call myself an elected servant.
Sure.
Because in this particular office, I do not make laws. Mm-hmm. We kind of instigate what the laws do, the legislature puts out. But I was renovating an old home down on Dog River, and all the issues that go along with Dog River, the litter, derelict vessels, I got interested in that.
Oh, wow.
And a good friend of mine, she pointed out to me, she said, one thing that was also ran for office, something kicks into it and says, you know what,
mm-hmm.
I've got to get involved. Because then you started realizing you can do a lot as a volunteer and a few things, but I have, being in the Marine Corps, moving up to the levels of leadership and command, I've got to get to a level where I can make a difference.
Sure.
And that's what got me to start running for office. So I ran for county commissioner back in 2000, and, I think it was 12.
Okay.
Did not win that race, but the learning curve was outstanding. And I didn't quit. Then I ran for senator, state senator, District 35.
Mm-hmm.
Did not win that, but my learning curve got faster and better.
Right.
And I realized, well, the Lord didn't make me, that wasn't in the cards. But one thing I did feel, don't quit, don't give up.
Sure.
And then an opportunity came that Kim Hastie was elected mm-hmm. to revenue commissioner.
Sure.
And she had to vacate that position with a year left. And then me and a whole bunch of qualified candidates, the governor had to appoint someone to fill her unfulfilled term.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I ended up getting selected that, and I was very fortunate to be selected for that. And so I fulfilled that one-year term, and then I qualified to run for that office
okay.
in 2016.
Okay.
So I won that election, and then 4 years later, I was reelected to the gratitude of the people here in Mobile County.
Sure.
I thank them very much, and the honor to serve them, and that's kind of what ended up in it. And I kind of always felt, I've been involved in the civics, and I was very interested in politics. Even as a young teenager, I enjoyed watching the evening news. I mean, what's going on in the world?
You're the one. You're the one.
What's going on in the world? What's happening here? And I said, my father was in World War II, and I remember him telling us the stories. And I said, you know what? He heard all this on the radio, too.
Right.
What was happening was present back then. And I'm thinking, what's happening now is present to me.
Well, you know, I actually want to go back a step. First of yeah. all, thank you for your service in the United States Marine Corps.
Thank you.
You know, I had the honor to serve myself. Mm-hmm. You and I ran
oh,
into
yeah.
each other. Last week when we were celebrating the birthday of the United States Navy, 247 years of being on watch for 24/7. So, you know, I often talk about just the honor and the gift of service.
Yes.
And there's something about that time in uniform, whether you were serving in the enlisted ranks initially and then for some reason decided you wanted to be commissioned, right?
Yeah.
What did you fly?
I flew A-4s.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But it's that life of service. And
yes.
It's always good to see that servant heart continue when, you know, we actually have to hang up the uniform
mm-hmm.
Because that's a young person's game, as I like to tell people.
Well, I'll divide it. Yes, you want to serve because we're used to doing it. And other things is our leadership has taught us to take charge,
sure.
get things right, square this away, and then make things right. Because every organization you belong to, there's always something you can improve on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we've been trained to go in there and grab that and do something better. Whether you fail or succeed, the thing is you try to do that.
Absolutely.
And that's what I feel that what we're called to do. That's my duty.
Absolutely. So the other thing that I was teeing up at the beginning of the program mm-hmm. is we've had a number of opportunities here at Kennedy for Alabama to go into some of the offices that may not always be top of mind
yes.
with the listening audience, just to help educate everybody to what it is that you do. And I know there's no way we'll be able to get through the exhausted list in the time that
oh,
we have
yeah.
available.
Okay.
But just take a few minutes and tell folks, what does the license commissioner do here
yeah.
in Mobile County?
Well, there's only about 10 license commissioners in the state of Alabama.
Okay.
If you are, for your listeners in Baldwin County and other places, the probate judge does this. And this
okay.
goes back to history of who, what, and when, long before I was born and how this was established. But the license commissioner in Mobile County, we have two assignments. One, we do tags, and we do business licenses.
Okay.
We collect sales tax. All the sales tax, every
really?
Dime that you put out, and
okay.
you buy a dollar's worth of something, that dime, that business sends that to us. And I have a whole department that
sure.
distributes that money amongst all the agencies.
Okay.
Every month on the 20th, I'll write out a $2 million check to the state, to the county, that I actually
mm-hmm.
write out
mm-hmm.
a check to do that with them. So we're charged of doing that. That's our two main big things that we do
sure.
here. We also do conservation. We use that as a broad term for boats and hunting licenses and things like that.
Okay.
Here's one of the things I want to get across to the audience when it comes up. Well, it's another story is the Star ID for traveling.
Please.
We only renew it. We cannot make it. You have to go to an Alabama law enforcement agency to get your first one.
Okay.
I want to save people a lot of time out there in your listening audience. You have to go to Alabama law enforcement agency, then get a new Star ID, and then once you get that, we can renew that. So
okay.
I see a lot of people come into our office every day, and we have to chase them over to Demetropolis Road.
so we actually live in Pritchard.
Yeah.
And so our local office is right there in 8 Mile.
That's right. That's correct.
So that's the one where I would normally go and get my license renewed. But you're saying I can't go to a location like that. I actually had to go to Demetropolis
Road.
Correct.
To get it started. Okay. The Alabama license, your driver's license is a state license.
Okay.
That's a state. Your tag is a county license because the taxes are taken up within the county. That's why you see the ones, twos, and threes on your license tags. Mm-hmm. And then Baldwin County is, of course, five. And then they go alphabetical order from then on out.
Sure.
So, but our main job, we really what we want to do is take this agency, and my focus is to change the paradigm of a government office and make this place responsible to the public to where your life doesn't revolve around getting the tag. You come in and get out and get your business done because we're a monopoly. You have to come to us. Mm-hmm. And just because we're a monopoly doesn't mean we cannot give good service, friendly customer service, and good advice with things that perhaps when you buy a car, for a lot of people, it's the first time they bought an automobile. Mm-hmm. And it is an expensive, arduous task sometimes to go through this, all the paperwork required, because Alabama does title their cars.
Right.
And that goes back from the days we were a dumping ground for stolen cars way back when, and so Alice Weilbaum went to the title system.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You had mentioned earlier in the segment about how you did you don't make any laws.
Correct,
right?
Correct.
You only are executing upon laws that are actually made.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I wanted to clarify on the license, because some people may not be familiar with it, is what exactly is the STAR ID?
Oh.
What is it so that folks understand what it is that
the STAR ID came out of the 9/11 thing to be able to get into fly airlines and people to be qualified to say, okay, I'm a real citizen. They do a background investigation on you. And then once you have that background investigation, then you get that STAR put on your driver's license. It's only one of 14 documents you need. It isn't the only document. If you have a passport, you never need a STAR ID card.
Okay.
And there's a list of them. That's why I'm just saying you have to go to the federal site to look at it.
Okay.
But it's not the only document. You have to get that to get on a federal basis or a nuclear power plant.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some stipulations for that. But everybody thinks, oh, I've got to have a STAR ID to fly on an airplane by 2000. In 23 next year. No, you don't. There's other documents you can use.
Sure.
So come to our website and look for that, and give us a call. We'll help you work your way through that on that particular thing there. Don't get nervous about it. I can't fly without it. Yeah.
So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Anything else about normal driver's license stuff?
One of the things I really want to press to your listeners is that we have this happen all the time. When you purchase an automobile, if the person does not have a title, do not give them the money, okay?
Mm.
No title, no money, because they will not show up the next day sometimes.
Right.
And you've got a big mess. We see this all the time with people innocently are being taken advantage of like that.
Okay.
And the kiosk. We have got the kiosk going. You'll be able to start using that. And you just come in, punch in your data, your driver's license number, and spit your kiosk out, and you're out of there. You don't even have to come to our clerks.
Well, we actually appreciate efficiency. You know, there are some of us in the Kennedy family that actually prefer
some
to interact with the clerk.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes, we already know who that would be.
So, well, thank you for that. The other thing, so Kennedy for Alabama is one of the kind of the flagship program under Kennedy Strategic Communications, which I mentioned Auckland is the president of. And we recently had to renew our business license.
Yes.
So can you talk a little bit about the
responsibility? We've started where we can do your business license online.
Mm-hmm.
We do an enormous number of business licenses, and you can do it by calling us. You can do it online. We just kind of started that a year or so ago.
Oh, wow.
It makes it convenient to where you don't have to come in to renew your business license. And that's worked outstandingly. Now, if you want to come in and chit-chat with us and everything else, that's perfectly fine. The business license office is usually open. All the time. It's fairly not complicated because a lot of people do that.
Right.
But you do have to do it during the month of October.
Yeah.
Don't forget to do that. Please, ladies and gentlemen, if you own a business, now is the time to come in and renew your business license.
Because
we will call you to remind you to do that because we don't want you to get in trouble.
I saw that paper where I actually just did it yesterday. So I was like, wow, I got to get this done by the end of the month of October. So I might as well do it
today
and just get it over.
If you have it here, I'll sign it for you.
And there was another thing that I learned, and this is the first year that we had the business, but there was like an inventory of the, called the you know, like the computers and the chairs and all that stuff.
Yes.
And I didn't realize that was a separate step.
Yep.
Can you just explain to folks who may be listening about that?
Sort of. I can explain. That's why I have a whole department and some very smart people.
Yes.
It's the size of a New York telephone book.
Oh, wow.
And every permutation is different. That's mm-hmm. I cannot memorize that.
But it wouldn't be possible.
That's why you have to come in and say, I have this. I have this. If you don't sell this product or sell that product, then it's a different category.
Yep.
That's why you have to kind of come in, or you can do it online once you've done it before.
Sure.
But it is vastly – Alabama legislature, unfortunately, has made it very difficult to be able to work through all this mm-hmm. because everybody has a different look at the law of how much they want, what they have. A pool hall, are you selling cigarettes? If not, mm-hmm. how many pool tables you have? All that stuff is a permutation of what you have to do. And your communication thing is, yeah, how many staplers you have, how many this you have. Is that, we call it business personal property. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of difficult to understand that as a business person, because personal property is what you have on your property, your watch, your hat, your car. But business personal property is what you have on the thing.
The reason why I mentioned it, though, was just to extend my compliments to your office. Mm-hmm. So as a new business owner, you know, when we set everything up for the first time, we thought we did everything that we were supposed to
Everybody
do.
Everybody does.
And, you know, and somebody called me, mm-hmm. you know, and I was very fortunate to receive that call, because I'm sitting going, all right, you know, because you have those
internet
scams and stuff like
that,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, hey, and they took the time and they walked me through it and they explained everything that we needed to do. And as you mentioned, we were actually able to do it right there over the phone.
Yep.
So we didn't have to make a special trip.
We have a room that you can come in. We've got a computer there, and mm-hmm. our people will sit down and discuss everything that you need to do to help get your business started. Even the Chamber of Commerce has an office like that, but they also send people to us to finish doing that. And the biggest thing about a business license, for those of you out there, if whatever city you're in, you have to have one for that city and the state and county.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people think, well, I'm not in Mobile County. I'm the city of Mobile. Well, the city of Mobile is in Mobile County and is in the state of Alabama.
Last time I checked.
But people, you're surprised. People will get a city license and not think they have to come to get ours. Mm-hmm. So you have to have two if you're in a municipality. You have to have one for each municipality that you operate your business in.
Okay.
Because each municipality has their own, all the 11 here in Mobile County,
sure,
if you want to operate there. So a lot of small businesses want to get started, cottage businesses working out of the house. We try to shepherd them through that to get them through, to make them successful, and we really want them to be successful, and we work with them any way we possibly can to help them get through this and get started. It is a learning curve. Even everybody that's gone through a Harvard Business School still can't find all the regulations in mm-hmm. that particular state or county.
Sure.
And that's what we're there for.
Well, thank you for that. We appreciate it. So we talked about two main areas. We talked mm-hmm. about your traditional driver's license, where you can go to get it renewed, where you need to go if you're trying to get the STAR ID.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the business license. Mm-hmm. You actually started off the segment talking about your tax collection and distribution responsibilities.
Yes.
So can you just talk a little bit more about that so folks understand?
Right. Well, each tag, as far as that goes, is divided up into different segments of percentage of school, the county, the mm-hmm. state. Different organizations. If you say, I want to get a helping schools tag, and you put down Murphy High School, we send that money to the Mobile County School Board.
Oh, really?
And they get that money. If we have people that have schools up in Huntsville,
mm-hmm.
we send that to them. So that distribution of every tag is how it's divided up. So that money just will go into one chunk and then go to one place. It's all divided up. So your county tag is help supporting your county, is what the county lives and breathes on. We're about 52% of the operating budget for the county.
Really?
That's
I had no idea that it was
just
that big.
For your tag. Yes,
yeah.
That's why it's important for people to pay their tag. I don't want to see them get a ticket, but it's important to remember to go back behind your car occasionally and look and see when your tag is up, because it's up at the same time every year.
Mm-hmm.
And the notices we send to everybody, but sometimes the mail doesn't always get to them, or they move and they don't tell us. So that's another opportunity.
That's the other thing that continually runs through my head, is it's like I always know that this is the month we need to renew our tags in this month.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know that I need to renew my business license in October.
There
so
you go.
There's knowledge there.
Well, we're trying to send you a reminder. Also,
y'all sent the reminder, and have a little day timer where mm-hmm. I keep the stuff that I have.
We understand that happens, because life moves on, and every year something happens. It's hard to remember that type of thing. So we really try to make an effort to be forward and helping out people to do that kind of thing.
Yeah. So three areas. We've covered taxes. Yep. We've covered your regular driver's license. We've also covered your business license. So what else is happening there? In the,
well, we've been doing some great things here. We, like I said, we've got the kiosk running and everything else in each one of our operations. All we have five. Now we've even allowed for business license in Citronelle.
Oh wow! Okay.
Because business license takes a little bit of training for these kind of for these people. So you can now get to do your business license in Citronelle downtown office or Michael Boulevard there.
Okay.
We have the one spot payments for business, which you can go in, which is very convenient for businesses to do that. To blow our horn, right now we're doing about 95% customer satisfaction rate. We have a mechanism to tell.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And yeah. 10 minutes is still 10-minute tags. The encourage people to online, to use the mail online, to go to our website, which I always want to get that out, mobilecountylc.com, and to do that. And I want to suggest this. For customers who want to renew their driver's licenses online, go to our website, then go click on to that ALEA website, because that way you won't end up with a false one somewhere else in the world.
Oh, yes.
It's very common to punch in all your data and it be somewhere in someplace else in the world.
Somewhere where you don't want that data to get.
Exactly. Yeah. So go to our website and then click to it. And I'll do that. And for any questions, 251-574-5555 to renew your tag. Or any other questions that you might have. Let's see, what else? We're really pushing our 65. People over 65 do not have to pay all the mail fee.
Oh, really?
Yes,
okay.
That's right. And so I have to send a dollar refund check to a lot of people because they put it in the thing. But if you're over 65 years old, you don't have to do that. So obviously you have to come in and prove that you're over 65.
Sure.
And we don't charge a mail fee for that. And and to use our other offices, a lot of times people will cram up in Michael Boulevard.
Okay.
And they won't go 8 Mile, and they live close to 8 Mile of Theodore. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they're shopping in this area. And we're in this area right now, so I'm shopping, might as well go to the office. But those other areas are sitting there with nobody there sometimes. And so everybody right around 10, 11 o'clock after lunch hour starts going to Michael Boulevard because they're shopping.
So here's a funny one. You'll appreciate this. So we've moved all over in our career. Civilian and military as well, but before coming home full time, the last area I lived was in New Jersey, and when I originally went to go get my tag in New Jersey, I kid you not, I had to go back three separate times because all the organization for all the stuff that I needed wasn't in one place. And it was almost like one of those comedy episodes where you stand in the long line, get up to the front, and realize you have two of the documents you need, but you need some other document.
Yep.
So I got to go back home and then stand in the line again, et cetera, et cetera. And so after having an experience like that, to come and be able to go to the same place there in 8 Mile when I got my original driver's test and my first driver's license and all that, and to be able to get in and out so efficiently is definitely something that.
Well, that's really one
enjoy.
Of the things I have. I'm going to give credit to Kim. Started with the greeters we have.
Okay.
You don't want to go sit there and wait for 10, 20, 30 minutes or an hour and then get to the window and find out you don't have the right thing. Find out you don't have your stuff and then go get it. And then most people, that's where we have, they're more than happy. I don't want to stand in line and wait for something I don't have. So that really helps out triage. Plus, the greeters can send it to different windows. Each of our windows, not everybody does the same thing because of different. Levels of training.
Yeah, that's right.
Because to get somebody trained in titles, it's almost like a 2-year operation like that. So the people that come, it takes about 6 to 8 months to get a clerk trained up.
Okay.
And so the ones that are in training, they go through a week's worth of training with simulators. We have simulators in the back. We run them through a simulator on the computers. And then they get on the line with two supervisors there.
So let me ask you this one. A lot of organizations are having problems recruiting and retaining staff.
Mm-hmm.
So how steady is your team?
Fairly steady. We lose people here and there.
Sure.
As they either want to start their own business or they want to go do something else through retirements.
Okay.
We do that. Mm-hmm. But we have to work through the personnel board and we submit that to them. But we have to do a little bit of lead time to kind of see for that squash time that we have to have. So right now with the market I would say that we have a challenge with getting people to come in and to want to be at the license committee. We have an excellent opportunity for pay, retirement. We're not going to go out of business.
You are not going to go out of business.
We're pretty steady. We got stabilized vacation time and everything else. And one of the things we have really done is people that come to us and want to be recruited, we want to get a positive type person.
People
that want to work with people and everything. If you don't want to work with people and don't like big crowds and you don't want to deal with the constant change, you're going to have to go someplace else and you'll be happier. But that's why we got good positive people.
All right. Well,
and I'm proud of them. I really am. They've really done a great job. They maintain. They in the morning, they say a prayer for the customers and you before in the morning. They get together and say that.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. Well, Mr. Matranga, thank you so much for being so gracious with your time, for coming out, spending a few minutes with us, and letting folks know about all the wonderful things that are happening at the license office. So thank you so much.
My really pleasure to be here.
All right. Well, with that, we are actually going to go to our bottom half of the hour break. And when we come back, we will continue the conversation with our next guest. So big thanks to Mr. Nick Matranga, the Mobile County License Commissioner, for coming out and spending a few minutes with us, talking through the big, big scope of responsibility that he has in that office for business licenses, for your normal licenses, for revenue that's connected through the fees that are paid on your tags, and making sure that all of that gets to the right place. So, hey, stick around for a few more minutes, and we will continue the conversation on the other side. You are listening to Kennedy for Alabama.
This question is for all managers. How often do you feel like Charlie Brown's teacher when speaking to your team? With Coached Up, the snooze fest is over. Founder and CEO, speaker, and corporate trainer, Levy D. King III is the answer to attention competition. For 16 years and counting, Coached Up continues to transform messages into life-changing perspectives for his corporate, civic, and nonprofit audiences. Coached Up provides learning and professional development solutions for departments across entire organizations that align and develop with the best of their culture. Clients echo Coached Up by helping to improve collaboration, engagement, and foster team synergy, creativity, and innovation. To reclaim your team's attention and build your organizational culture, call Coached Up at 251-298-7615 or visit Coached Up on Facebook at Coached Up to Success or online at CoachedUpToSuccess.com. That's Coached Up, the number 2, success.com.
Ever wonder how some brands always seem to be right on target with the sweet spot of their market? Right on time and always top of mind. When choosing Dogwood Productions, these wonders become wonderful connections with your market. Specializing in website solutions, new media strategy, and professional communications, Dogwood Productions has worked with some of the Gulf Coast's most prominent brands across many industries, including corporate, legal, hospitality, health, civic, restaurant, real estate, and the arts. And if you haven't visited Dogwood Recording Studios, make an appointment and turn that wonder into a wonderfully groovy experience. Call Dogwood Productions 251-476-0858. That's 251-476-0858. Or visit online dogwoodproductions.com for more information. Our customers agree. If asked, they could, should, and would do it again at Dogwood.
What do business, municipality, government, and nonprofit leaders have in common? The desire to win, to fulfill the mission for the benefit of their customers and constituents. That's why they call us at Kennedy Strategic Communication. At KSC, we help our clients develop strategies for targeting and converting their target markets. We provide branding, public relations, marketing, advertising, executive coaching, campaign and political support, and other business services. With over 25 years of experience in corporate, nonprofit, startup, and political settings from coast to coast, Kennedy Strategic Communication is here to help you capture your best customers. Learn more at KennedyStrategicCommunication.com or call us at 334-544-0510. That's 334-544-0510.
Welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. Now, let's have a real conversation about what's going on in our Alabama communities. Once again, your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
And welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. So, as we go through the last few weeks here, of the election season, we are very pleased to be able to bring you another candidate who is running for the Alabama State House. It is Mr. Richard Brackner, who is the Democratic nominee for State House for House District 95. Welcome, welcome, welcome. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much for having me, Robert. I am doing great. If it weren't for that traffic in there, it'd be better.
Yeah, we were joking about that off of air before we started the show. So you drove over to the studios from?
From Gulf Shores.
Okay.
From hometown,
wow.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Commitment. But it was fantastic, and you made it just in time.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And so you said that the drive was relatively uneventful until you got to the Mobile side of the bay, huh?
Oh, yeah. Population density changes quite a bit.
It does indeed. So I guess that will bring us into a conversation about the bridge at some point, but I won't hit you with that right off the bat. So, hey, before we get into the political, take a few minutes and just introduce yourself to the listening audience. Just let them know where you grew up, where you went to school, and just kind of what you've been doing professionally.
Yeah, gotcha. So, like I said, my name is Richard Brackner. I am originally from a little bit north in Alabama, got Oxford, the Oxford-Anniston area.
Okay.
Home to the busiest Starbucks in the state.
Indeed.
Keep up with that kind of
indeed.
Stuff. Let's see. After high school, I went to the University of Alabama, got a degree there, a bachelor's in advertising.
Okay.
After I studied advertising, I realized I was like, that's very manipulative, and I didn't quite like that. So all the money I had saved up for an internship instead went towards funding a like 3-year trip abroad.
Okay.
To Australia, New Zealand, and work there, and then spent a bunch of time in Asia, and when I got back to the States, I wanted to spend some time with my grandmother because she was getting older. So, yeah. And she's lived down in Gulf Shores since the 80s. So came down in 2019, planning on just spending a year with her before starting the next chapter. But COVID happened and she's a little bit older and vulnerable to COVID. So I was like, oh, I'll stay and do all the outings for her and everything like that and really settled in. And during that time, started studying the political scene in Alabama more. And after the 2020 election, very disappointed with the amount of or the lack of candidates on the down ballot. So I made a promise to myself and said if the opportunity arose, I would be someone's choice. And opportunity arose. So here I am.
Absolutely. Well, a couple of things before we continue the conversation. First, that opportunity to see things in the world and to see them at a young age is absolutely fantastic. My journey was similar. I was in the Navy right after I graduated from undergrad. I was stationed overseas 3 years in Japan, a year and a half in Singapore.
Oh, fun.
And so saw many of the same areas that you talked about while we were over there. And then Aquilin and I both went to business school at Duke University, Fuqua School of Business. And through the global exchange programs, we were actually able to do some courses and on the African continent, and I think Aquilin was
Southeast Asia, so it was pretty amazing.
Oh, wow. Where in Southeast Asia?
Oh, my goodness, everywhere. we started in Hong Kong. I went into Shenzhen for a day, came back. Sorry, Hong Kong, went to Shenzhen for a day, came back, went to Bangkok, Malaysia. I'm trying to think of everywhere we went. It's like 5 or 6 places, but it's been 20 years. But it was amazing and very eye-opening.
And the reason why I wanted to reference that as a component of this conversation was there is a world that's larger than the state of Alabama, clearly. But to be able to take all those observations and learnings and to bring those back home is, that's a godsend to be able to do that. So definitely interested in exploring that more of that in the days and weeks ahead. So having said that, now let's talk about the position that you're running for specifically. Mm-hmm. You are the Democratic nominee for House District 95. So if you are fortunate and blessed enough to be elected to that position, what would be your priorities?
So the priorities would be helping the maximum amount of people possible, the quickest possible. So I've thought about this a lot, like the first thing to do that would be able to get both sides of the aisle to agree on. And I think it would have to be trying to push the elimination of the grocery tax. Last session, a Republican senator and a Republican representative both brought forth bills, and I don't even think they made it to the floor. But I think if we have another push, I think now, especially considering the economic hardships that a lot of people are facing, it would be a lot easier sell to the legislators in Montgomery.
Okay. What else?
What else? Golly, there's a laundry list, right? Well, we've got a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill the federal government has passed. I plan on getting Alabama every single dime and penny it can. I think we need to have every county and municipality to appoint a paid grant writer, and the state government should help fund that, and those grant writers should get to work getting every single dollar they can to rebuild roads, bridges, providing infrastructure, providing fiber for broadband that Alabama is big on. And then in the Black Belt, providing proper waste management for treated water. I realize that I know Jackson has no drinking water, but we've had a problem for a while in the Black Belt where gray water rises up in people's yards, and that's, come on, this is America. That's not supposed to happen.
Sure. So let's go back and we'll dig on each of those. So as an overall theme, you talked about helping as many people as fast as possible. And the first, for example, of that would be the potential elimination of the grocery tax. So it is interesting that that came up in the tail end of the last legislative session, and it didn't get much traction because, as we know, the power within the state legislature sits with the Speaker of the House and the Senate Pro Temp. And ultimately, they're the ones who decide to put something on the floor. So if you go down as a newly minted freshman legislator, how is it that you plan on getting it through all the hoops so that it actually gets to the floor and people can vote on it? How would you do that?
Well, so professionally, I forgot to mention, I am a server. That's okay. What I've been doing throughout college, what I did overseas, and what I'm doing right now off Fort Morgan. It has blessed me with a gift to talk to people and be friendly with people in a very short amount of time. So I guess I would try to be buddy-buddy with the Speaker of the House and just try to gently coerce them into doing what's best, not just for their constituents, but for Alabama.
You know, it's interesting. When we started Kennedy for Alabama, one of our objectives was to make sure that we could create an environment where individuals could come share their perspectives and their platforms with the listening audience directly. And in the now 5 seasons that we've been running this program, nobody's calling anybody any names, right? And what we found is that when you focus on the issues, maybe you agree, maybe you don't agree, but at least you can advance and move the conversation forward. So I definitely like the way that you talked about approaching that in terms of establishing relationships with the folks who are currently in positions of power and then leveraging those relationships to do what's best for Alabama. And like I said, you win some, you lose some, but at least you're able to respect each other that as professionals you're trying to come up with solutions. That's absolutely a great thing. So talked about the grocery tax, the potential of eliminating or sunsetting or doing a holiday. There are various permutations on that. But tell me more about the infrastructure. So help me understand how a state House representative in District 95 would work to make sure there's an equitable distribution of those potential federal funds, that $1.2 billion that you referred to. How would you go about that?
So like I said, there's a lot of it would have to be with making sure that every county and municipality has grant writers. I'm sure that Alabama does. And a lot of it would not be in our control. But some of the strings attached to the federal funds is matching dollar for dollar with state funds. So finding out where those lie and then funding programs to get that match through our official state capacity would be the way to go. And I think like I said, a great example would be, you know, we're trying to expand broadband. And that has been brought up many, many times in the federal level. Another thing is mass transit.
Interesting.
Look in Mobile. Since you're from here, I'm sure you're sure there's a lot of your listenership. Y'all could use with a better bus system. It is skeletal. Let's put some meat on those bones.
Right.
And let's use some federal funds to help us out with that.
You know, it's interesting, particularly when you start talking about the distinction between what's happening in the city of Mobile proper and what's happening in some of the surrounding municipalities. So Aquilon and I live in Pritchard through Kennedy Strategic Communications. We had a consulting engagement with the Office of the Mayor. And one of the things that we learned was that bus service basically ends at a single point in Pritchard, does not necessarily continue throughout the municipality. And so, sure, you have the wave service in Mobile proper, but what a tremendous opportunity to continue to move people if you got beyond the four walls of the city proper and we're able to get a little bit more into the calendar, even into the region. And you know as well as anybody, when you compare our public transportation system in the U.S. in general to what it is that we see in other places in the world, particularly in Asia, it's night and day.
And pales in comparison.
Yes, yes. So tell folks how they can get in contact with you, how they can learn more about your campaign, possibly make a political donation if they choose to do so. Tell the folks how they can do that.
Oh, yeah. The easiest way is going to richardbrackner.com. My last name is B-R-A-C-K-N-E-R. And there's a donate button. And at the very bottom of the website, there is a phone number that goes right to my cell phone that I keep in my pocket and my email that I check 2 to 3 times a day. It is very, very easy to get in contact with me. And I want it to stay that way. I'm practicing now because if I do win, fingers crossed, I want to have as open a door policy as possible with my constituents.
Sure, sure. And so we got about 2 minutes before the break, and I want to hit one additional topic. So one of the things that folks are particularly passionate about in this particular part of our lovely state of Alabama is the issue of the bridge. So where do you stand on the issue of the bridge, for it, against it, and how is it that you propose to pay for it if, in fact, you are in favor of it?
Again, that's an infrastructure thing. I do think the bridge needs to be upgraded. I am not sure how I feel about a toll bridge, though. We already have one. The Foley Beach Express ends with a toll bridge going into Orange Beach, and I am against it. I never take it because I don't feel like paying it. So finding a way to fund it without putting an undue burden on the people who would have to use it constantly, like say people who live in Spanish Fort and work in Mobile. I'm going to be honest, I'm not a professional about that, but I would love to sit down with professionals and have a seat on that table to discuss possible options that don't involve charging people like $5 for a trip.
Okay. So as you look back on the last legislative session, was there anything about that legislation, either positive or negative, that kind of stuck out in your mind?
Let's see. The positive would be, well, it was the stuff that didn't quite get passed.
Okay.
The stuff that I saw was getting brought forward. And I would say the negative was Alabama has a tendency to piggyback off other conservative states when passing less than savory laws, and we did that a couple of times.
All right. All right. So if you could hold on for just a second, we're going to go to our break that we have here at the 3/4 hour, and then we're going to bring you back on the other side of that break to continue the conversation. Does that work for you?
Works for me.
Okay. All right. So for those of you who are tuning in right before we start the break, we have started a wonderful conversation here with Mr. Richard Brackner, who is the Democratic nominee for Alabama State House of Representatives in District 95. We asked him about his priorities, and he talked about globally. It was about helping as many people as fast as possible. And three specific areas that he focused on was the grocery tax elimination, how it is we distribute the dollars associated with the infrastructure bill, and the potential for improving our mass transit system. So if you guys would be so kind as to stay with us for a few more minutes, we're going to go to a break, and then we will continue the conversation on the other side. You are listening to Kennedy for Alabama.
Ever wonder how some brands always seem to be right on target with the sweet spot of their market? Right on time and always top of mind. When choosing Dogwood Productions, these wonders become wonderful connections with your market. Specializing in website solutions, new media strategy, and professional communications, Dogwood Productions has worked with some of the Gulf Coast's most prominent brands across many industries, including corporate, legal, hospitality, health, civic, restaurant, real estate, and the arts. And if you haven't visited Dogwood Recording Studios, make an appointment and turn that wonder into a wonderfully groovy experience. Call Dogwood Productions 251-476-0858. That's 251-476-0858. Or visit online dogwoodproductions.com for more information. Our customers agree. If asked, they could, should, and would do it again at Dogwood.
This question is for all managers. How often do you feel like Charlie Brown's teacher when speaking to your team?
With Coached Up, the snooze fest is over. Founder and CEO, speaker, and corporate trainer, Levy D. King III is the answer to attention competition. For 16 years and counting, Coached Up continues to transform messages into life-changing perspectives for his corporate, civic, and nonprofit audiences. Coached Up provides learning and professional development solutions for departments across entire organizations that align and develop with the best of their culture. Clients echo Coached Up by helping to improve collaboration, engagement, and foster team synergy, creativity, and innovation. To reclaim your team's attention and build your organizational culture, call Coached Up at 251-298-7615 or visit Coached Up on Facebook at Coached Up to Success or online at CoachedUpToSuccess.com. That's Coached Up, the number 2, success.com.
Welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. Now, let's have a real conversation about what's going on in our Alabama communities. Once again, your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
And welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. For those of you who are just now joining us, we are having a conversation here with Mr. Richard Brackner, who is a Democratic nominee for Alabama State House District 95. So we just went through a number of priorities that he identified. But as we go into the last portion of this program, I really did want to give you the opportunity to potentially comment on some other issues that you didn't necessarily bring up in the top of your priority list. The three that are discussed the most often are the issue of education, particularly we're talking about public education, kind of K through 12. The second is this continual tension that we have in the larger society about choice versus life. And then finally, one of the other hot button issues that is normally top of mind here in the state of Alabama is the issue of immigration. So where do you want to go? What is it that you would like to share your views on?
Let's see if we can touch on them all in the time we have left. Okay. We'll start at the top and work our way down. So public education, I was educated in a public Alabama high school. I think it turned out pretty well, okay. But we have seen a decline in education. We're now ranked 46th or 47th, depending on what poll you use this year. We are 49th in per student spending. So even if we are increasing our education budget, it's only to match the increased population of school children.
Sure.
So we need to speed that along. And the easiest way to supplement that budget would be a lottery. It's something that okay. the majority of people want in our state and something that our legislator just cannot seem to pass, and I do not know why. We're one of 5 states that does not have a lottery, and mm-hmm. we've seen the benefits of it in our neighbors. Tennessee has free community college. Georgia has pre-K education which is also takes care of kids while their parents are at work.
And the other two thing about those are the states that you identified are neighbors that have it. They're all conservative states as well.
They're all conservative states. Florida, that's conservative state, has it. I don't know why we have to be that much more conservative.
So let me ask you this, though. One of the things that we can point to is the growth in the spending per student, albeit it still has us towards the bottom of other states and federal territories. But beyond just the dollar, what is it that you would propose or advocate to ensure that education is actually improved?
So we need to ensure equitable spending. We have a problem where every public education thing in our state is tied to the millage tax of that particular area. So if you have very affluent areas, they have very nice schools because of the millage tax. If
sure.
you have not so affluent areas, the schools suffer, and kids shouldn't suffer because of where they live in Alabama. Mm-hmm. It should all. Mm-hmm. So just getting them on an equal playing field to, like people say, in like Homewood, compared to, say, even Foley,
sure.
Would be a great improvement. The other thing is teacher retention. We've got a teacher shortage, and we're actually seeing a teacher shortage nationwide. So trying to solve that, particularly for Alabama, would be, like, it's, I don't want to reinvent the wheel with things, but saying
right.
it's a nationwide problem, we can't look to other states for good examples.
No, it's definitely interesting when you talk about what's happened here the last few years, particularly coming out of the pandemic, and how our teachers have not always been treated with the respect that they deserve. Sure, no one's going to get rich from a career in public education, but we don't want to condemn anyone to a life of poverty either. So
exactly.
We have to come up with some sort of balance there. So thank you for sharing your thoughts on education.
Yeah.
And so two more potential topics. You'll probably only get to one in the time we have left. So
all right.
Your choice.
So let's see if we can get to two. We'll try to make this as quick as possible. So the pro-life versus pro-choice debate. We had
sure.
a 2019 law that snapped into place after the Dobbs decision that caused Alabama to be one of the strictest states in the union when it came to abortion, with the only exception being the life of the mother being at risk.
Okay.
We need to at least see that change to have exceptions for rape and incest and for non-viable fetuses. So either it be physical or genetic abnormalities that show up, there's no point in putting that woman through trauma of giving birth to someone who will just die.
Sure. And just to emphasize that a little bit. So when we talk about individuals who are not terminating a pregnancy as a form of birth control, particularly the ones who are doing it late, in most instances, it's because the fetus is non-viable.
Correct.
It doesn't have a skull, doesn't have a heartbeat, et cetera, et cetera. And they are forced to make that very, very difficult decision as to what it is they're going to do. But
yeah.
Please, go ahead and continue.
And I guess that was in a nutshell. So you said mentioned the last thing is immigration. Immigration in Alabama, kind of important. We saw, I can't remember if it was 2014 or 2016, where we copied an Arizona law. And every immigrant basically left Alabama, and we had what was almost $12 million in crops that could not get harvested in time.
Sure, sure.
So it's detrimental to our economy if we become too strict on immigration. Like, love it or hate it, we need them as much as they need us.
Well, you know, you mentioned, and particularly given where you're working down the Gulf Coast, is we know that we have a lot of folks that we bring into our country. H-1B visa program, for example, the temporary workers that help us during the summer.
J-1s, yeah.
That there's a permutation that's needed for that for the workers who support the agricultural industry as well. And so if there are concerns or there's fear, as you mentioned, then you end up with food rotting on the vine.
Yeah.
Which is what we had, which is not something that we want to have on a continual basis going forward. So, wow, you impressed me. I didn't think you were going to get through all three topics that quickly. So you did a great job.
Thank you.
So, hey, we got about a minute left before we need to end the program. Make your closing argument in terms of why somebody listening in South Baldwin County should consider voting for Richard Brackner.
All right. So we are in a Republican stronghold, right? Not just in our state, but especially in Baldwin County. If we can show that Democrats can be viable here, they can show that Democrats can be viable across the state. We would also put more accountability on the Republicans who are just gliding by with an R next to their name on election day, and force them to come up with solutions to the issues facing our state, which we're not really seeing right now with the legislature as it stands. So vote for me is a vote for more accountability in the government as a whole.
Well, thank you so much for being very gracious with your time, spending it with us here in studio. We love having guests in studio, and we really appreciate the fact that you made that drive across the bridge in order to do that. So as you continue through your day-to-day and you continue on the campaign trail here over the next few weeks, please continue to be careful, and we'll be looking forward to seeing the results there on Election Day.
Me too. I cannot wait for November 8th. Have
our
free time back.
All right. So that is going to be the last word for today. Our thanks to Mr. Richard Brackner for spending a little bit of time with us today and telling us about his candidacy. And as we mentioned several times before, this is what we do at Kennedy for Alabama, is we bring the candidate into the studio and we give the candidate the opportunity to tell you about their priorities directly. So with that, we have actually come to the end of another program. We thank you so much for continuing to support us here. So until next time, I am Robert Kennedy Jr.
And Aquilin Kennedy.
And we are
Kennedy for Alabama.